Tori Parrish calls herself a woman of many trades. She is an oil painter, also a classical harpist, and enjoys woodworking. Did I also mention she teaches art and the harp? You can see Tori's work this month at Chattanooga Workspace, where she is one of its newest members, and at the Colonnade Center in Ringgold, Georgia, now through January 4th. Tori told me what brought her to Chattanooga. Tori, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So, like myself, you are a recent arrival to Chattanooga.
Yes. Yes, I am.
What brought you here?
I've been living out in California for the last 5 or 6 years. I went to school out there, and I needed a change, and it was super expensive in the Bay Area. I had to drive across the country. I was going to move to New York, so I called up my best friend from middle school. She quit her job, flew out to meet me, and we drove my harp across the country. And we got to Chattanooga, and by then she had convinced me that I didn't really want to move to New York, of course. And we were driving around, and I missed the South because I grew up in North Carolina. And we drove by one day on our way to, like, a bakery somewhere. The mural of the harpist on Brainerd, I think it is. And I was like, this is it. Murals everywhere. There's a mural of a harpist. Obviously, this is a sign. I'm just going to move here instead. Also, I didn't know what I was doing and had no plan. So, now I'm here.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
And you mentioned you grew up in North Carolina. Where did you grow up there?
I grew up just outside of Raleigh in Cary, North Carolina. My family's still all around in that area.
And tell me more about how you got into the different creative things that you do, because you do more than one creative thing.
I do any and all creative things, more or less. I'm one of those people that, like, I was painting since I could stand up and hold a paintbrush. And I really have been making music for that long, too. I started playing the harp actually when I was 6 years old. So that's later, relatively speaking. But I had been painting and making art since I was a small child. I remember one time going to a friend's house and asking where her art supplies were, and she didn't have an art cart. And I was horrified, because I just could not imagine, like, what else would you do with your time? And then as for the harp and music, I played a lot of instruments when I was little. But for the harp, my mom tells it that one day I just told her I wanted to play the harp. She has no idea where I saw a harp, where I heard a harp. But apparently I asked, and she found me an awesome teacher. And then I've been playing since then. So over, like, 15 or 16 years now.
And you were mentioning during your moving process that you had to unpack the harp each night. Why did you have to do that?
Well, so the harp is a large, beautiful, and sensitive instrument, like anything made out of wood, any really nice instrument. So it's sensitive to temperature and changes in temperature and humidity. So the harp can't be at 32 degrees, which is what the temperature was when we were driving across the country. So with all my belongings and the harp in the car, we had to unpack it, bring it inside to whatever Airbnb we were staying at that night, and then repack the car in the morning so that the harp would be safe.
And another kind of art that you do is woodworking.
Yes, I do also do some woodworking. I got into that because of the painting, because I started making stretcher bars for my own canvases when I was in college at Stanford, where I went for my undergrad. They have the nicest wood shop probably ever anywhere. It is gorgeous. So I just spent all of my time there, and I started building things. I'm working on a little bench for the same best friend now for in their kitchen, so they put their cat's litter boxes underneath. And then, like, I just kind of make whatever for my studio, for my paintings. I really want to make these, like, painting sculpture hybrids right now, where instead of creating a regular stretcher bar that's the square, doing kind of like triangular canvases that can piece together and make these structures and be made up of all of these other little paintings.
So tell us what you have on display now in this area.
What I have on display right now are my most recent paintings that I've created since I moved here to Chattanooga. They're a lot of little, they're about like 8 by 10 inches, just small little snapshot oil paintings is what I call them. And they're all kind of about dealing with anxiety and moving and transition. If you look at my work, there's a lot of really, really loose brushwork, a lot of really thick paint. People have tied it to, like, impressionism or expressionism. And there's a lot of still lifes of just images and things that I found that have helped me in my personal journey with anxiety and using painting and art to deal with my own mental health. And also the paintings in a way look like there's some kind of anxiety going around with all of the paint and all of the colors. And then there's usually one focal point of focus. And so there are a lot of those paintings. That's what's going to be up right now.
You deal with anxiety. And in dealing with anxiety, you're also dealing with identity. And that comes through in your work, doesn't it?
Yeah. A lot of my work before I moved here was figurative and paintings of people and paintings of me. Some of those paintings will also be up just as a little bit of context. I did a lot of paintings in a similar vein to what these are now, dealing with old photographs of me and my other friends growing up before we have either come together or grown apart. And that's similar, like the paint moving around, and they're all in these worlds of color and texture with a focal point on the figures and dealing with identity in that way.
When we talk about identity, what does that mean to you?
For me, identity is really tied to community. A lot of my original work, I was also dealing specifically with queer identity, and I still am now, with, and also in terms of the anxiety and all of those things in my paintings. A lot of the figurative work are of queer people, and they are the centerpiece of those paintings, which is on purpose, obviously, but also because I'm mostly surrounded by other queer people. There are more than one paintings of my girlfriend that are up in the show at the Colonnade right now. And just trying to sort through that by looking through old images and then painting them and kind of trying to bring together identities through time, like younger self, older self, putting them together in paint and just seeing and reprocessing what's going on there.
And for you, is there something therapeutic about the art as you conceive it, as you fashion it into reality?
Absolutely. All of my paintings, part of the reason I paint small and part of the reason I paint so like thick and loose is because I'm very impatient, which is not usually a quality that you find with an oil painter, because the medium is very like well known to be, you need a lot of patience. You got to wait for the paint to dry. It takes forever to dry, but I'm really impatient. So the good thing that goes along with that is I'm also really, really fast. So a painting, although it might take a long time to plan, one of those little paintings I can get done in a few hours. So that's sitting down for me and working with this image or working with this memory and really like thinking through it and thinking about how to recreate it in paint, thinking about what I want to add to it or what I want to take away. And that is absolutely therapeutic for me. And that's how I work through a lot of things.
And I would imagine that if it's therapeutic for you, it's probably crossed your mind that somebody who's seeing it, even if they're only seeing it, they might get some therapeutic value out of it as well.
Yeah, I do hope so. And I've heard that from some people who've purchased my paintings in the past. One woman bought this painting and she wanted to hear my story, but she first told me her whole perception of it as this figure surrounded by anxiety in the world, but she's in focus and she's there and you can like kind of calm down by staring at that one point of focus. She actually told me she wanted to put it on an easel by her bed so that she could look at it every morning when she wakes up. So that painting is getting a lot of love.
What more can you ask for than that?
I know, it was great.
Tell us about the work that you have up now.
The work I have up now are a lot of those paintings having to do with anxiety. It's a body of work that I've titled Pause, mostly just to reflect the moments of pause that I took in working through those images, or a moment of pause in when you're in the midst of a lot of anxiety or overwhelm, and looking out the window and there's just this one interesting angle of light hitting this like cabinet or whatever it is, or the bed. There's a lot of beds in my paintings, actually, is a common theme. And just taking that moment and sitting with it and painting it, which oil painting traditionally is one of these like super elite, like beautiful, elevating mediums. And to take just a moment of pause and paint it in oils, I think, is elevating in its own way and reminding us that we need to stop and rest and take care of ourselves.
In between taking care of yourself, you've got some things coming up.
I have lots of things coming up. This is a busy season for me. I have my body of work, Pause, will be up at the Colonnade in Ringgold, Georgia through January 4th. I will have lots of performances. I will be performing at the Chattanooga Workspace Open Studio Night, some classical harp music. I'm booking holiday parties right now for harp as well. And I will have a solo show coming up at the Chattanooga Workspace in the new year. The dates are not set for that, but they will be upcoming and they will be on my website.
And tell us more about that. How can people follow you online?
People can follow me online in many ways. You can go to my website, toriparish.com. You can also find me on Instagram at nonparishable, spelled like my last name, nonparishable. And I post on there very frequently. That's the best place if you want to see what I'm working on, like right now in real time.
All right. Tori, thanks so much and all the best.
Yes, thank you for having me.